a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. This is Manna.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Manna, a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. I'm your host, Jeff Peterson. Now, none of the guys that you're going to meet on this podcast would consider themselves to be extraordinary, but it's their humble, holy way of living that's exactly what makes them extra to me, and I am excited for you to meet them. Now, have you ever felt torn between science and spirituality? Between what can be empirically proven and then what has to be essentially believed? Well, that apparent Sophie's Choice vexes many a person and many a man, I would guess, because us guys, we seem to operate best in more of the black and white, not so much in the gray. And unfortunately for that reason, a lot of guys either lean on the facts alone or they just don't lean at all. Well, today's guest has tackled that false choice between science and faith with his book called A Higher Road, Cleanse Your Consciousness to Transcend the Ego and Ascend Spiritually. He came upon the idea, or rather it came upon him, when he discovered a 7-step process that transformed his own life and made it onto the pages of his book, in which he uses his own life story to illustrate how we can unlock our consciousness while understanding the scientific workings of things like memetics and biology, epigenetics, neuroplasty, and a lot more $5 words that I have no idea what they do, but they're very, very smart sounding and scientific to positively affect our daily lives. I'm summarizing his work significantly here because if I told you all about it in the intro, then the interview that you've all tuned into would be very anticlimactic. But among the many lessons that we're going to hear more about here in a second, the book and the process helps readers learn how to free themselves, and I'm quoting here, from the treadmill of life's ups and downs and enter an inner state of everlasting peace, joy, love, abundance, and prosperity that is more rewarding than you ever dreamed possible, end quote. One, sign me up for that. And help me welcome today's man of man, Mr. Neil Elliott. Hey, Neil.
Oh, hey, thank you so much, Jeff. That's such a kind introduction, and we're almost done.
Exactly, and that's a wrap. well, thanks. Thanks again for being here. I can't wait to talk about the book and your life. And I understand that your work, comes not from an entirely, intellectual or philosophical endeavor, but as I did mention in the intro, there was really kind of a real life situation that, and a bit of exigency, if you will, that sort of begat the book and the process. So let's maybe start there. How did it come to be?
Good question. Good intro. I'll keep it short. So born in 1960, I want to give everybody that little, kind of benchmark. And youngest of 6 kids, and my dad died when I was 5 years old. So in 1965, my mom had to go out and find a job to support the family. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up in the 60s and the 70s and, did all those things that people did back then, which was play outside, and then, later on in life, maybe dabble in a few things that one shouldn't necessarily dabble in. And anyway, ended up that I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I decided one day when I turned 20 that I would go into engineering. So I'm a professional engineer, and in my mid-30s, I have an MBA. And I've worked in the corporate world for over 30 years, managing large hydroelectric projects, be them dams, powerhouses, transmission lines, distribution stuff. So that's the context. I went from gainful employment to being a consultant in 2002. And when you're a consultant, life becomes, at least for me, life becomes about work. You don't work, you don't get paid. You get sick, yeah, you don't get paid. So work, work, work. And slowly, unbeknownst to me, I slowly drove myself into this really deep, dark, despondent depression that I realized in 2015 I was in. And I tried to figure out, how do I get out of this? My wife didn't know about it. My family didn't know about it. We have three kids. And no one knew. I didn't tell my clients, of course. And we lived in this beautiful, amazing, very expensive waterfront home. Outside of the city, it was really quiet. Our neighbors were bears and deer and eagles and stuff like that. It was just this beautiful, idyllic spot in nature. And which meant we needed to travel into clients, you know, 4 hours to get into the city to deal with clients. And so I began this journey, and we had our house up for sale, and it was in a depressed market, and it didn't sell. So it was on the market for 4 or 5 years. And finally, in late 2017, November 2017, we finally got an inked deal to sell the place. And I had been trying to get out of this depression I was in with no avail. And I was at the point where I was done with life. My wife got on a plane. She went to visit family and friends in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I sat down. We're in this little one-bedroom rental apartment in the city. I sat down at the kitchen table. I planned out my suicide, crafted my suicide note. I planned it out for about 3 months so that I could be help my wife move, get rid of all the crap I accumulated over a lifetime that I, you know, chalks up, fills up the basement and attics, and I never use it anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just kind of clear that stuff out to try and ease the burden. I didn't let anybody know I was doing this. And about a week prior to that, some information came to me in this really fortuitous fashion that promised to liberate me from my thinking if I studied and I followed it. And I thought, I'll give it one last go. And so I started in on this material, and it was marketed in a way which was really unappealing. If I had seen it a year earlier, 2 years earlier, I wouldn't have gone anywhere near it. Mm-hmm. And so I started reading it, and it was so incredibly logical and rational and based in what we know in it, Newtonian science. And so I started following it. And as the 3 months approached, I was starting to not feel real any changes. All these changes happened slowly and imperceptibly. But what was happening was I was slowly building faith. I can say that in retrospect. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept, I thought, okay, I'll keep going with it. I'll keep going. We'll see what happens. It culminated in, at the end of December 2018, so a year and a bit later, part of this process is you will learn a meditation to follow. And I went into this meditation. I meditated every morning. So I went into this meditation, and within like 3 minutes, I was just totally filled with this beautiful, incredible energy. And I was filled and immersed. I was like a deep sea diver suspended in the ocean, immersed in unconditional love. I totally loved. I didn't care what anybody had done to me in the past. I didn't care what I had done. I felt totally non-judged, completely loved. I didn't care what aches and pains my body had, what illnesses it had. I just wanted to stay there forever. I came out of that meditation. 2 days later, I had the exact same meditation. And at that point, I knew that this process I followed, that this information and new knowledge I built, brings us back to who we really are, brings us back to our truth, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so I've carried on with that. And life just keeps getting better and better. Now, I'm a work in progress, as everybody is. Exactly. I'm not perfect by any way or means. But what I know is I can now recognize that things that I'm doing that are contrary to unconditional love, I know where they come from. I know why they're there. And then I have the tools to deal with them. Now, some of them, you know, I just keep putting off and don't dealing with them. But I tell you, this year, things are really ramping up and really changing. And it is so incredibly beautiful. No matter what is going on around me, no matter what is going on in the world, I live in this beautiful state of unconditional love and peace and joy. And I don't get excited or fearful about any of these things that are going on in the world.
Yeah.
And it is just such an incredible place to be. And it is who you really are. But you need some knowledge and new process and some tools to actually understand this and then work to make these changes in your life. And I tell you, if you do, you will never look back.
Yeah. Oh, what a great story. And I mean, and the timing, I mean, thank God that it happened when it did, you know. And I want to come back to kind of that state that you were in, you know, consulting and all the junk work is not junk, but there's a lot of stress and identity and a lot of garbage that comes along with, you know, that kind of clouds, like what we're built for and who we are. So I want to come back to that, because I think a lot of guys that are listening here can relate to that. But when you describe this state that you found and that you're working, and like you say, we're all works in progress. But, you know, when you talk about, you know, love and peace and joy, you know, those are a lot of universally held tenets, let's say, of, you know, religion. And we've had, you know, guys on the show here that come from a variety of faith traditions. You know, I'm Catholic, and we've had a lot of Christians. We've had people of the Jewish faith. So this road that you're on, does it align with a particular faith tradition, or is it sort of kind of agnostic of a kind of an organized religion, if you will?
So now this is just a personal assessment. I would say it's more agnostic. Now, I'm not educated in religions. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I know, you know, kind of what the general public knows about a religion, who hasn't, you know, grown up in a faith.
Right.
And so I would say it's agnostic from what I know. Like, there's no, and I don't want to offend anybody, but there's no dogma, no, you must do this. Yeah. It is really understanding who you really are. And I'm not talking about the little eye of ego. I'm talking about your soul. Understanding where your soul comes from, why it's here, what its purpose is in terms of coming here, not in terms of purpose, I'm going to be a musician or I'm going to be the CEO of some company, but the evolutionary growth of your soul and the things that, there's no right or wrong, no good or bad, there's only choices here. Things that, if you want to come back to who you really are, your soul, be in alignment with your heart and your spirit, if you will, when you understand how all of this works, you are given the tools and the processes to clear all of that clutter out. And when you clear all the clutter out, then it allows your soul to guide you and to be in your life daily, moment by moment by moment, to help you and assist you and to be that embodiment of unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating. Is there, though, and again, I'll just use some analogies here. You'll hear of people who perhaps are in some type of addiction programs where they may not, again, specifically align with a certain religion, but they'll sort of, you know, acknowledge or surrender to like a higher power, you know, kind of a just a larger force, if you will. Is there something in that regard that's part of this process?
So the short answer is there's an element of a higher power. We all come from the same place. no matter what you call it, God, Allah, Yahweh, the Tao, the universal God, whatever you want to call it, we all originate from the same place. And that is pure unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And the very fact that you have come here to Earth to be in this material, what we think of as a material form, to interact in this individual way with other people that we see as individuals. We have come here to expand our consciousness, to expand the understanding of what unconditional love is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't understand the light unless you see the dark. Mm-hmm. You can't understand love unless you experience hate and denigration and, you know, all of those things that we would consider to be negative.
Yeah.
And well, so we come here to play, if you will, in this environment to expand Christ consciousness, I'll call it that, and also to transmute all of these things that we consider to be, that we experience as negative. And you know, there's a little side note, is everything is unconditional love. It's just that when we're embodied in this experience that we're in, we don't understand where this all comes from or what its purpose is. And when that universal power enters into you every moment of every day when you ask it to, you will know that you are loved and you are supported, and that no matter what is going on around you, you will be given direction if you follow it, because you have free will. You can choose not to follow it. Mm. But I can tell you, if you can learn to surrender and take the direction and follow the direction, everything works out just so magically and so beautifully.
Well, and yeah, and that I yeah, there's so much of you know, as I'm listening, the connections to faith traditions. You know, when you talk about you know, the surrender or the you know, when you just said, you know, we're, and I'm paraphrasing your own words here, but you know, just a couple of minutes ago when you said, you know, we are built for love. You know, we are built for that. And that is exactly what, you know, a lot, like within the Christian faith, that's what we believe. We're made in the image and likeness of God, who is love. You know, God doesn't just do a good job loving, you know, he's not just good at it. God is love, period. And so what you're describing is resonating with me, you know, and I'm so happy that you found this and are finding this piece. And so I want to go back then to what you also said that I totally resonated with, which was a lot of times you can't find the light until you go through the darkness. And, you know, the story that you told, I mean, it gave me chills. I could just picture you there in your kitchen. I would have to imagine that your story, because you didn't just read about this and now you're sort of, you know, evangelizing it, you lived it. I mean, you actually experienced it yourself. I would imagine that when you are talking to people who were in your shoes, you know, at one point, I would imagine the response you're getting, whether it's from the book or from your talks. I mean, I would imagine that people are similarly captivated by it here. What kind of response are you getting from your book?
Well, I've had a very good response from my book. People that, you know, I've picked it up. You know, if you look on Amazon, you know, there's reviews there that, you know, are reflected in, you know, you will always find people that maybe not like something, but you know, I've got some good reviews here that you can read, and you know, I'm 4.5, 4.6 or 4.7 rated out of 5. So you know, that's kind of a reflection of people that have actually read the book.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's got to be so helpful. You know, you mentioned how all of us grew up, even if not in the most traditional or got, you know, sort of dogmatic sort of households. You know, we all get exposed to religion and faith and God, you know, at young ages. What was it like growing up for you? Was faith, church, religion, was that part of your upbringing, or is this now, you know, a very much elevated sense of spirituality? You know, this is something that clearly the last, you know, few years here has really taken on, you know, it's even grown to new heights. But what was it like growing up?
Both my mom and my dad, I think they would call themselves atheists. Hmm. And so wasn't exposed to any religious trainings at all. And given that, you know, I was the youngest of six and my mom had to go out and work, I was on my own a lot, you know, playing with kids. We played in we're in a small community back in the 60s, you know, pretty safe. You know, you walk yourself to school, you go out and play. I mean, the instructions we had is be home when the streetlights come on. Mm-hmm. And, we were allowed to watch TV Saturday morning, to watch cartoons and Disney at, you know, Sunday nights. Other than that, it was really outdoors, you know, baseball, football, mm-hmm. you know, just sports, kick the can, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
No religious understanding at all.
So for folks that maybe haven't run into you since those early days, so whether it's a high school reunion or whatever, or it sounds like even college potentially, when they meet you today and you know, understand the journey that you've been on and the work you're doing now to help others reach this more dialed in, authentic, sort of loving, spiritual place, are they surprised? You know, are they like, dude, never pegged you as a spiritual guy? Or what kind of reaction do you get to people that knew you way back when?
I think it's mixed and it's varied, and I'm not sure the words that are always spoken are what's really felt internally. And so, I don't judge that in any way, shape, or form. I think people just take it in stride as far as, so far, anybody that I've run into. And I think the one thing is that you will find that when you get on this path, that the people that you hang with and the kind of work that you do may change, likely will change. And it's not that anybody's good or bad or, you know, kind of off the mark in any way, shape, or form, because everybody is where they need to be on their journey, on their personal journey. And this isn't about, what you're going to learn is that all of these little subtle things within you that evaluate and judge are part of these blocks that you have. I mean, really, we are here to recognize that every individual here is the same as you. We all come from unconditional love. Everyone's soul is unconditional love. This outer experience that you have is a reflection not only of your beliefs, but anybody that shows up in your environment that you judge or criticize or blame or, you know, anything else, any kind of judgment at all, is really just a reflection of your own beliefs for you to understand, oh, what am I believing about what this person is saying or doing that makes me have this this response? And it gives you an opportunity to look within yourself. This is not a journey without. This is a journey within. And when you go within and you start to follow these practices or these tools, you will start to examine everything that is buried in your conscious and unconscious mind and subconscious mind. And you will start to look at them and go, I wonder where that came from. Where did that belief come from? And, you know, we are born into these environments that, you know, that provide us with constructs that we adopt these beliefs as we grow from babyhood to adulthood. And we think we're becoming versed in the ways of the world. And really what we're doing is we're shutting our soul off, and we're shutting it off. We're binding it down and shutting it off from the light. And what we need to do is understand what these bondages are that we have created and unwrap those and get rid of those to allow the light to enter into us. And then when the light enters into us, then it helps us along this journey to cleanse your consciousness and then rebuild it in alignment with your soul, to become in alignment with who you really are. Yeah.
Well, and like you said, and to not judge, and to just, and to have that just unfiltered love, you just, you can't argue with that. You just can't. It's beautiful. And I'm just so happy. I'm happy that you found it. And, I'm happy that you're helping others find it as well. So, we are already, at the fun segment of the show. This is, what we do to sort of close out every episode by asking every guest the same three questions. Now, these questions, even though, like I said earlier, we have had guests representing various faith traditions on the show, but the question, it's the first question, talks about Jesus, who is love, who is light, and so you'll be able to still answer the question, you know, and just maybe it'll be one of our more creative answers to the question as you sort of interpret that and process it through the love and the light that is Jesus. So anyway, fun segment question number one. If Jesus knocked on your door tomorrow morning, over there in British Columbia, Canada, and just wanted to hang out with you for the day, okay, you got a whole day that you're going to spend with Jesus, with the love and the light, the source, how would you spend your time?
I would spend my time in every moment of now, not caught up in the past or the future, but in the moment of now.
I love it. that's probably the shortest, but also probably the most simple answer, Neil, that we've gotten to that. Yeah, be in the now. Exactly. Be in the love. All right. Fun segment question number two. If you could go to church, okay, with any other man, living or dead, famous or not, you know, complex or simple, whatever. But the rules are you're gonna go to worship, you're gonna pray, you're gonna go to church, however you want to define that destination. But you gotta go with another guy. Who is that guy gonna be?
I'd probably go with Joshua.
Tell more about that, or is that, that's the answer.
Well, that is the answer. Joshua, Jesus.
Yeah.
So Joshua and I have conversations every day in my meditation.
Yeah.
So I can ask him to be present, and he's present within me, and he will give me guidance.
Beautiful. You are so right there. All right, last question. Take us home here. If you could give just one piece of advice to a younger man, okay, like think of like a teenager, maybe a tween, somebody who's really far upstream there, okay, and you're going to give that one younger man just one piece of advice about living a spirit-led life of love, of peace, of joy, of everything that we've talked about here over the last 30 minutes. What would that one piece of advice be?
It would be to find a path that resonates with you to take this journey within, because life is about unveiling your true self, your true power, and you are more powerful and loving and creative than you can even imagine.
I love that. That is a bit of a drop the mic moment right there, Neil Elliott. All right. Well, thank you again, Neil, for taking this time to be with us here. And I want to remind everybody, the book is called A Higher Road. The author is, and our guest today is Neil Elliott, D. Neil Elliott. If you search for him, remember the D. So D. Neil Elliott. And thanks again, Neil, for being here and for sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Jeff. And I wish everyone the best in the future and all the light and love to them.
Thank you for listening to Mana. If you have any questions or recommendations for future guests, send them to manapodcast@gmail.com.